This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacy Cole, and Todd Michaels.
David D4VD as us over the age of 30 look and go, huh?
Uh-huh. What?
5 months after 14-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez dismembered remains were found inside David's impounded Tesla, the grand jury investigation is entering a critical pressure phase. Witnesses from the singer's inner circle are being arrested and compelled to testify. Outside forensic experts have reportedly been brought in, and multiple sources say an indictment is likely. Yet, still, no charges have been filed. Retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer is with us to help break this down, as she has been throughout this entire case. Jennifer, Neil Langston, we talked about him on the show way back, right back when they arrested, or when they impounded the car, and the PI was talking about somebody on camera parking that car. I believe our first thing that we talked about, I think one of the first people that talked about it, was it possibly being Neil Langston, who was behind the wheel of that vehicle. We don't know for sure, but his name was brought up very early in the conversation. Close friend of David, well-known streamer, recently appeared before the grand jury after being arrested in Montana by 7 officers with a warrant from the LAPD robbery homicide for failing to appear as a witness. He was only in front of the jury for 30 to 40 minutes.
Different
from your experience in the FBI, what does such a short testimony from a compelled, previously uncooperative witness tell you about what prosecutors already have and what they were specifically trying to get from Neo?
I plead the fifth.
I
plead the fifth.
Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
Over and over and over.
Yep.
You think that's all they got?
Likely. I mean, I can't imagine. That's what I believe. That's what I've seen. When we have to compel somebody to come in, that's what I hear, especially somebody that might have been involved.
Is there, and what's the next lever? What I mean, if you're being called in by the FBI and you're being called in by a grand jury here to testify, and you're pleading the fifth, are there any other levers they can pull after that? Do they have, I mean, if they have probably more, if they have more dirt on him, could that become a threat? Could that become a threat of, well, we're going to charge you with this crime unless you choose to stop pleading the fifth? Because we already know enough about what you may have going on, if there is something, and we don't know. But if there is something, can that be another lever they pull to try and compel testimony?
Sure. But I think the main thing was they wanted to get him on record pleading the fifth, or, you know, taking the possible chance that he'd cooperate. I think they knew he wouldn't. And so now that's sort of on their record. They know he's not going to cooperate. And I think you can look to see him charged if they have the evidence, and they're going to go after him and then they'll use it. But boy, once you go ahead and do that, it's like fighting that traffic ticket that you're probably guilty of, you know.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're paying more costs than you ever meant to if you decide to fight it. So
this was documentation.
Yeah.
Is this a case where they got what they need to go after David, or is it, you know, they're just really making sure they're crossing those T's and dotting those I's, so when they go in, they got their list stacked and it's good to go? Or is it, we're not quite up to the threshold that we need to be to make an arrest?
Well, look, at the end of the day, in a situation like this, they have purposefully thrown this to the grand jury and to the jurors to make a decision. You know, it drives me crazy when everybody says you can indict a ham sandwich. I just don't believe that. I've been in too many grand juries where they have too many great questions and they take their job seriously. And they are going to be looking at this. And it's just going to depend on really what the grand jury comes down to after they see everything. But they're going to want to see everybody. You can't have a guy like Neo, who's at the heart of all of this, not be brought before them. So those grand jurors are taking that to heart. Wow, didn't say anything? That says a lot. Well, again, that's just my belief.
What do you think the time frame is going to be? Do you think they're actively looking at, in such and such a date, we're going to make an arrest? Do you think that's coming, or do you think we're just stalled?
I don't think we're stalled. I mean, as long as they're still calling witnesses before the grand jury, they're definitely not stalled out. But do they have all the evidence? You would think by now they do. When I say all the evidence, I mean from Tesla and from the digital footprint. The biggest problem is all that digital evidence, not to get it, but to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, by his own, David, meaning by his own admissions, he said, these were my friends.
Yeah.
People, I didn't get out. This is my life behind, you know, a screen. And so because of that, that trail is going to be immense. So I don't know if they have everything yet. I still think we're looking at more time.
How important do you think Neo is to this? And it's N-E-O. It's not Neo, the singer. Yeah. I want people to understand that, who are over 30, who remember Neo, the singer.
Exactly.
It says N-E-O, not N-E-Y-O, just to be clear. Are they still trying to figure out the value that Neo might hold in this entire case? If, let's assume he's pleading the fifth, as they continue to go through more witnesses, once they go through their list of witnesses, are they going to go back and go, okay, you know, Neo seems like he could probably give us a bit more than pleading the fifth if that's what he did. We want to get that out of him. Is that a reevaluation point of going back in and maybe saying, hey, let's cut a deal with him, kind of like what they did, you know, in the Au Pair Affair trial that we just watched with Brendan Banfield, where the au pair who pulled the trigger on one of the two shots ends up getting this deal, this sweetheart deal of time served, you're good, go on, as long as you testify to the story that we are going with here, that this all happened. Is that what's going to be weighed here next? What is going on in the investigative minds as they're pulling all this information in and digesting it?
Well, they're going to try to find who might have been there or have knowledge of what happened to Celeste and take the lowest lying fruit. You know, you, for instance, if you have information that Neo was deeply involved in this, you're not going to want to necessarily take your run at him. Mm-hmm. You're going to want to take your run at maybe somebody else that would have had a lesser role. Again, mm-hmm. we don't know what roles everybody had. I've always said there's going to be people involved in this. This is not something David did on his own at all. And I expect multiple people to be involved. So you're going to want the lowest lying fruit. And you're definitely, when you're all done, I would, and I think most of these prosecutors, they're going to make a run at him. And they're going to say, listen, this is what we got for you. You tell us everything, and it better make sense matched up to our evidence. And if it does, then we're going to give you immunity just on what you have to say, not what we knew outside of what you had to say. And instead of getting charged with accessory to murder or a more significant charge, you're going to get a lesser charge. I don't think we'll see anybody get a pass mm-hmm. on this deal. And maybe if it was just say Neo and just David, which again, I don't think that's going to be the case, but just say, and the only one that is interested in a deal is Neo, they're going to make that because there are, in my opinion, there's going to be too much that they can't answer from just digital evidence. They need a witness there to walk them through. How did this go so bad? When exactly did it happen? Who planned this? What's mm-hmm. with the, you know, the burner, the animal incinerator, you know?
Yeah.
So many questions. So they'll want to make a deal, I believe. They're going to want to make a deal. It's who with is the question.
Right now, is the question behind the scenes still, was this a homicide or was this some sort of horrible accident or overdose? And then more of the crime occurred after the fact, the cover-up. Are they still, do you think, trying to determine what exactly they're looking at here?
You know what? I can't think of one case that I know of that's an accidental overdose or somebody tripped and fell and hit their head and died that you decide to cut them up and throw them in a Tesla trunk. So I don't think any investigator or a prosecutor worth their salt that's just thinking this is just some accident. I think that this was deliberate and maniacal and heinous what they did to that little girl.
Maniacal, heinous, I completely agree. I do just wonder, though, if that was the modality they chose for whatever reason. Not that they murdered her, but something happened in OD and nobody wants to be responsible. And the lengths that people will go to not be accountable, pretty shocking, you know? It does make me wonder that that could not be the possible modality here in this.
You know what? If they just would have abandoned her, you know, thrown her out at that area, was that San Bernardino, if I remember outside?
I believe so, yeah.
Just kind of, you know, gotten rid of her, thrown her out of a car. Seen that?
A lot of possibilities, but this is the path that somebody went down.
Not this. You don't need to cut somebody up and throw them in your car. And I mean, no. That's my opinion.
Why do you have the incinerator and then not use it?
Oh, I think, you know what?
Was it panic buying? Was it like, well, you know, it's Amazon day and they're Amazon 50% off right now.
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have these great plans and then you don't go through with them, or you think it's a great plan and there's laziness. You know, I always equate it to Pulp Fiction. Now, some of you might not like that movie. I personally love this movie. And let me say why. It's because crime and things like this become normal. And so for them, they already did this, they did this, and then they're carrying on sort of in their life normally, right? He's going on tour, they're leasing a new car, they're smoking and joking. You should see the pictures just the day after that she was found anyway. I mean, it's just unbelievable. They just go on with their life. And so I believe,
that's kind of my point though, Jen, is to you and me, this is insane. Like, who the hell would do this? And I think historically speaking, it is insane. And the odds of people making these choices are not great. But we have this generation of mini narcissists that don't seem to have the empathy gene. And I'm broadly speaking here. I don't know if Neo had anything to do with this. Innocent until proven guilty. But there is clearly a narcissistic crisis going on with human beings in our country and lack of empathy for others. All of that behavior you're talking about right there, just kind of moving on with their life, they don't care. It also speaks to someone who would have the modality and the ability to do this without thinking twice. And it's just, it's operational. It's like, well, here's the problem. Here's how we can fix it. Let's just go to Amazon and get an incinerator. And no one's going to be the wiser. And if it covers up their tracks, it covers up their tracks so they can continue on. It's a weird disconnect that a lot of people seem to have. It's a spooky, scary one that a lot of people seem to have. And I'm wondering if we're just seeing this being played out in real life, in real time from some young folks.
I agree with everything you said, but I don't think this was any accident.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair.
I wonder. I mean, accident, not accident. The modality kind of still is there no matter what, even if it was not an accident. Just the fact that they were able to, because what you're talking about, the videos, the photos, how they were acting right after, even if you had nothing to do with this.
Shouldn't be acting that way.
Why?
If you're a normal person.
Yeah, the cold, callous, like emotionally bankrupt. Yeah. That some people show after tragedy is shocking, and it's scary, and it's spooky. I don't know. So many questions, not a lot of answers yet. The grand jury continues to be convened. We'll continue to cover it. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you get podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases that we got for you right here. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Spotify. Hit subscribe and let us know your thoughts in the comment section, either on YouTube or on our Substack. Our Substack, absolutely free right now, no paywall. Get on there, get access to our videos a day before they go live everywhere else, no ads. hiddenkillers.substack.com. Check it out, the link is in the description. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, as always, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your insights. For Todd, for Stacy, I'm Tony Bruschi. Talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.